Praise the Lord for that. It's good to be here tonight. I was just thinking this just before the service started. A year ago, we were at this service, but we weren't on staff at the time. We were just visiting back in the area, and there were a lot of people asking if we were coming back, and I kept having to say no, or trying to find a way to say no, even though I knew chances where we were back. That was the tough part about it. Trying to be a good Christian and not lie, but also to not open my mouth, because I'm very good at that as well. So we're going to be in Exodus chapter 4 tonight. We're actually going to be looking at four different stories here in Exodus, and so I'm not going to spend any more time talking, so I can be done in time. Exodus chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 1. It says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." Let's pray. Lord, I love you. God, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to preach tonight. And Lord, thank you for our church family. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you've placed us here. Lord, I'm thankful for all you've done in my life, Lord, just through the people of this church, Lord, through our pastor. And Lord, I pray you just bless us tonight. Bless this sweet time we've already had together. And I pray you just give us something, Lord, in the next few moments. I pray that you empty myself and use me, Lord, to just Lord, get this clear message across tonight. We ask this in your name. Amen. This opening has never been used at this time of year, but it's resolution time. And that was a joke. It's always used. But crickets. Let me try it. No, I'm just joking. All right. It's resolution time. And this is the time of year where we look on the previous year, and then we try to make resolutions or goals for the year ahead. And, you know, that's good and all, and we need to do those things. We need to improve ourselves and sometimes decrease ourselves. And but more importantly than our physical goals, or more importantly than just trying to smile more or be around family more, more important than all those things is our spiritual walk with God. And I think it's good for us to make those goals and those resolutions, but each and every one of us should evaluate our relationship with God. Each and every one of us should evaluate our Christian life. Each and every one of us should evaluate our walk with God, our works for the Lord, our closeness to God, and see, hey, where could I be better? And I'm not saying this to brag, not saying this to lift up myself, but this morning I was able to have a time like I've never had before with God at this time of year, just thanking God for what he'd done this past year, and also asking God and making promises or goals with my personal relationship with God, asking him to help me in those things and that I could grow in those areas in my life this year. That's what I wanted. That's what I want more than anything this year, is just to grow closer to God and for those specific places in my life to be as God would have them to be. And I'm just so thankful for the time I had with him this morning. And each and every one of us that have been in church our whole life, each and every one of us that have been here for any amount of time, most of us, we know what the Bible says. And I think a Christian that has been going to church for just even a few years could know, hey, what is right, what is wrong. We know the sins. We may not know all the major doctrines of the Bible, but you do know what sin is, and you know what you are to do. Read your Bible, pray, grow in the Lord. And we know those things. And each and every one of us, I believe, if we were to evaluate our Christian life right now and to look at our relationship with God, our heart, I believe that each of us could probably find at least one area that may not be where God would have it to be, or that could at least get better than it is right now. We know those things. We know the Word of God. We know the Bible. But why do we find ourselves really in that same predicament, always knowing that we could be doing better for God, or that we haven't been as successful in our Christian walk or with the fruits of our Christian life for the Lord? You know, the Christian life, as you know, doesn't happen on its own. It's not like you get saved and automatically, boom, you're close to the Lord and you're the Christian God would have you to be. That doesn't happen that way. It takes effort. And God has laid out in his word that it's not an easy life. It's not a very easy thing to be the Christian that God wants you to be, but God has made it available. God has made it possible for us to be that because of him, because of what he's done. Many times, though, we set these goals, or we want to get closer to God, or we want to witness more, or we want to be a better testimony or influence on others, or we want to read our Bible more, or we want to have a better influence on our children, or be more faithful to this or to that. And many times we do those things and we fail, or we underachieve, and sometimes even we give up on those goals that we've made, or those decisions, those times we've dedicated ourselves to the Lord. We just give up because it's not working, or it's become too hard. And in this passage here in Exodus chapter 4, we find Moses given the task at the burning bush. And as we talk about the story of the burning bush, we remember this story. Many times we think about this story and we remember it, but we don't really remember it as it really happened. We remember God came to Moses. Moses took off his shoes because he was on holy ground. And God said, Moses, I want you to go to help the Israelites be freed from Egypt. And Moses said, yes. And we think about the story that way, but that's not really what happened. As Moses was being spoken to by God, he was scared. He didn't think he would be able to do it. He was kept having more question after question for God on what he should do, or if there was somebody else, or trying to tell God that he wasn't capable of that. He had his doubts. He was nervous how the children of Israel would respond. He did not think he could do it. But I love the passage that we just read in chapter 4 of Exodus, when God was speaking to Moses and he said, Moses, what is in thine hand? He said, a rod. And as they continued to speak and interact, God told Moses to put the rod that he had in his hand on the ground, and it became a serpent. Moses saw the power of God there at that moment, and he picked it up, and again, it was a rod. Let's all turn over to chapter 14 of Exodus very quickly. Exodus chapter 14. The Israelites had just fled from Egypt. They were fleeing from Egypt, and as they fled, Pharaoh decided to go after them, get vengeance, and kill them. And the Israelites ran into the obstacle, the Red Sea. And as they came up on this obstacle, the people began to murmur, saying, you brought us out of there for this. You brought us out of there to die. And they were scared. They were worried. But in verse 15, we find this. It said, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. God said, go before the people, take the elders with you. God said, lift up thy rod, stretch out your hand, and I'll do the rest. And the Red Sea parted. They walked across on dry ground. Let's turn over to chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 5. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. This is the passage where the children of Israel had come to a place called Rephidim. They traveled in the wilderness for many hours. They finished this trip and they get there and there's no water. So God said, Moses, I want you to take the elders. I want you to go to this rock. These people are murmuring. Go to this rock. I want them to see it. And as we look here at verse 6, it says, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So Moses did as God commanded. He took that rod that God clearly had his hand on and was using, and he smote that rock, and water came out. Then we would look here as the chapter continues. We see that after they get the water, as they are still there in Rephidim, that Amalek brought his army to come and fight the Israelites. And Moses, if we look here in verse 8, says, then came Amalek and fought with the Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And for time's sake, we know the story. We know that as Moses stood there at the top of the hill with the rod of God in his hand and held it high, as long as his rod was in the air, as long as it was held high, the Israelites prevailed. When his arms began to weaken and go down, we know the Amalek made a move on them, but as his arms went back up and as they propped them up, they won the battle and Israel defeated Amalek. You know, as many times as I've heard these stories, they don't get old. As many times I can look here and see what God did with just a rod, it excites me. And there's two things I just want us to look at, just two little thoughts. The first thing we see from these stories, the first thing we see from this example is that God is always there. God is always there. Just as Pastor preached about this morning, His Holy Spirit now indwells within us if you're a Christian. And He's there to guide you. He's there to help you. He's there to comfort you. He's there to bring joy to your life because of who He is, what He's done. You know, the children of Israel, God had given them a pillar of fire by night. He'd given them a cloud by day. But along the way, this rod became a symbol of the presence of God. Moses immediately saw, as God told him to place this stick on the ground, it became a serpent. He saw the power of God in that. And Moses and the children of Israel, as they were at the Red Sea, and you can imagine the Israelites there, scared to death, waiting, trying to find out what was going to happen, if they were going to be taken back. And as Moses took a step out in front of everybody else, he steps there at the shore of the Red Sea and held the rod out and held his hand out, and the Red Sea parted. Just imagine seeing the symbol as Moses held that out and what God did there. You think about Moses at the rock, holding that walking stick or that staff as the shepherds would use. And I remember as a kid we would find the biggest stick we could, and we'd go to a tree and we'd hit it and the stick would break. We'd try to see how big of a tree or small tree or stick we could break. And Moses is just walking up to this big rock with a stick, and as the elders are there around him, he swings that as hard as he can, and that rock broke and water came out. It's not supposed to happen. Clearly the power of God was there, and they saw that. That's what God wanted them to see. Think about the battle as they were there at Rephidim still, and it came to a place where this rod was being called by Moses the rod of God. And the men of Israel, you can imagine these men, they're fighting, and they had that assurance seeing the rod lifted up and victory and all that came through it. You know, God was there for every victory. God was there for every blessing. Can I remind you that God is always there? God is always there. You know, you may be in your life right now going through something. You may be going through a trial. You may be going through a hard time. There may be something that has come up into your life recently that you maybe don't see a way out of, or that you're trusting God with, but at the same time it's hard. Can I remind you, God is always there. No matter how dark it may seem to you, no matter how hard it may seem, no matter what the obstacle, how large it may be in front of you, God is there. He's in control. As you serve him here in the church, as you do your ministries this year, as you live, as he's called us to live according to his word, he is there. I just want to think back about that battle again. These Israelite men, not long before this, were slaves. They were working for the Egyptians. And these Israelite men are approached, attacked by Amalek and his warriors, I'm guessing. I'm sure these men did some sort of training there. It wasn't the first people they've invaded. But think about these previous slaves that are now having to fight Amalek and his men, untrained soldiers. But as they looked on the hillside, they saw Moses with the rod of God. And no matter what the obstacle looked like in front of them, no matter how hard the enemy seemed, as they looked up there, they knew God was in control. They knew God was there. They had no fear, no worries. In our trials, we can look to God. In our temptations, we can look to God. In those moments of weariness, we can look to God. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I need to move on. God is always there. Second thing tonight, very quickly. God can use anything or anybody. He's always there, but he can use anything or anybody. You know, I love the conversation we see there in chapter 4. Moses, if we look chapter 2, 3, and 4, and going on, Moses is trying to tell God how unqualified he is. He's asking him all these questions. He's trying to say, but they won't believe me. I'm not qualified. I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. And as Moses is saying all those things, God goes to maybe the simplest thing that Moses had with him. He said, Moses, what's in thine hand? And he said, a rod, my staff, something I used to help walk, and herd these sheep. You know, to Moses, it was just a rod. But to God, it was used to help part the Red Sea. You know, to Moses, it was just a rod, but to God, it could become a serpent or anything God would have it to be. You know, to Moses, it was just a rod, but to God, it was used as a powerful instrument to break that rock and have water come out. You know, to Moses, it went from being just a rod to being the rod of God. And as he held it in the air, the Israelites prevailed. You know, you may think right now you don't have much to offer God. You may look at your life. You may look at what you've done, what you have. You may see yourself as unqualified, unable to make a difference for God. You may think you have just a rod. But that small thing in your life or that place you feel incapable, God can use to do something great. You know, when it comes to your witness, God can use you. Even though you may not feel eloquent, even though you may not feel qualified or able to clearly witness to someone, God can use you through the power of the gospel to make a difference in someone's life and for someone to trust him. You may think that you know, someone in your life that isn't where they should be, needs to be influenced by someone, but probably not you because you're not a very good leader or a strong leader, or maybe you think that maybe somebody else could help this person better, but God may want to use you to help that person. You may at one point in your life felt called to the ministry. You may at one point in your life felt the push to surrender to God, but as you thought about it, you felt unqualified or unable to do that. The God you may think you have just a rod. We have a God that wants to do the extraordinary with the ordinary. We need to step out by faith. I want to encourage you here in 2017 to trust God, to do what the Bible says, as a church, if we all work together, if we all look to God, if we all trust Him, if we all use what God has given us to serve Him, watch what He will do, what He can do through us. In Exodus chapter 2, I find Moses in a very similar situation to where many of us might be in our life tonight. He's at a new beginning. We're not going to read it for time's sake. But Moses was out in the field following sheep. And God approached him with a call. God brought him in and told him what He had for him. And Moses felt unqualified. He felt unable. All he had with him was a rod. But it's amazing to look throughout the story, throughout our world, and how the life of Moses and his obedience to God changed the history of this world. What if Moses decided at that moment not to do anything? What if he decided it was too much and to walk away? God probably would have used somebody else. But because a man eventually gave in to God and trusted Him and used what God gave him, many, many millions of lives were changed, and we have history to prove it and to learn from. With God, all things are possible. And I just want to encourage you tonight as I finish. This year, take a step of faith or take an uncomfortable step. Trust God with what He's given you and watch what He will do.